This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to every game here on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you in part by your local Hyundai dealers. WSCR Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, and Odyssey Sports Station. The Score! Scoreboard update.
Score update studio brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants. Do it today. 103 pitches, 9 strikeouts for Ben Brown, but the offense, just 4 hits, 2 of those from Nico Horner. Not nearly enough to beat the Giants. They fall Wednesday afternoon. 3-1, Giants take the series. The Cubs now have a day off. They'll be in New York this weekend. Friday, a 5:35 pregame right here on The Score. Jameson Taillon will throw. Saturday is TBD. Sunday, Matthew Boyd. White Sox stuck at 10. 10 wins. They lose again to the Royals. Bobby Witt Jr., a 2-run homer, and that was all the cushion Michael Wacha would need. 2-1 the final in Kansas City. Game 4 of the 4-game series this afternoon. Knicks come back down 20, beat the Celtics yet again, 91-90. Take a 2-games-to-none lead as they leave Boston and head to New York. The Thunder set all kinds of offensive records in a 149-106 win over the Nuggets. That series tied at a game apiece. Game 2 in Minnesota between the Warriors and T-Wolves. No Steph Curry. He's out at least a week with a hamstring injury. Panthers fall to the Maple Leafs, David's team. 2-games-to-none. It was 4-3 the final last night. And the Stars take a 1-game-to-none lead over the Jets, 3-2. Mikko Rantanen, a natural hat trick in the second period for the Stars. This hour brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Here's the pitch on the way to Adames. Bouncing ball to third. It's going to be a fair ball, and it's going to be an infield single. Backhanded by Birdie, but his momentum carried him well into foul territory. He made a belated throw to first, and it was not nearly in time. It's an infield single. Runners at first and second. Nobody out. Giants threatening right away.
Yeah, this is one of those plays. Once Birdie catches this ball, he's at the foul line. It's just barely fair. Once he takes 2 steps and then can't really grip the ball, then you just got to eat that ball. You can't make that throw. It'll be a base hit for Adames.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. First play of the Cubs game. And again, not that anybody cares, not that anybody's getting hung up on one play, but it followed the night before.
It's not one play. It's one play yesterday.
It's one position.
It's a continuation of an issue that continues to plague the Cubs, and that is your defense at third base needs really shored up.
Yes.
You need to tighten it up, and it's not acceptable right now because the committee that they have appointed to play third base.
The committee to field the baseball.
Yeah, not fielding the baseball. And John Birdie is somebody that has – some value offensively. He's got some speed that you, I think, like to have in the lineup. He can hit a little bit, but defensively, there are issues that continue to surface. And I just think he's a utility guy who has played a lot of third base. He's a veteran. He played the equivalent of a season at third base over the course of his career, 148 games, but you still don't have that defensive question adequately addressed.
And I think that, like, Nicky Lopez can play third base. They've got him on their roster. He's a utility guy. I don't know that he can play offense. Like, it's just that's how life is.
He hit 300 one year for the Royals.
Oh, okay.
Years ago.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I know, but I'm just saying he's not, yeah. He's not terrible. He's a professional hitter. But he's
now,
somebody.
I wouldn't describe him as a professional hitter. He is a light hitting second baseman who plays third in this committee.
When you say it that way, it sounds like an insult.
It's not meant as an insult. It's meant as a description as to exactly the type of player he is.
So this,
I like the guy.
So this is what it's come to. This is what it's come to. Every day, we are reprioritizing the Cubs' needs because every day, it seems, one of those big three weaknesses appears and surfaces and is exploited, and you start to wonder, well, is that really worse than the starting pitching?
Can you get from point A to point C with three different issues? But you know what? Like, catcher, we thought could be an issue, not an issue. We worried that the first baseman could be an issue, not an issue. We worried that is the center fielder okay? Not only not an issue, but an incredible strength.
I think he's one of the better young players in the National League through the first month and a half of the season.
So they have resolved, solved, whatever way you want to put it, certain positions that were of concern going into the year. But I would say, in fairness, they are down a pitcher, maybe down two right now.
They're down two.
Well, I mean, just right now. But they're not – I mean, they're down a pitcher for the season they need to replace.
Okay.
Whether that's internal or external, we will discover. We're hoping it might be external, but there is an internal option that may be up on Saturday. Maybe Cade Horton begins this is their best young pitcher, and mm-hmm. Ben Brown's doing pretty good. Had a pretty good game yesterday.
Do we have somebody assigned to watch the smoke billowing out of the chimneys at Clark and Addison?
I worry the smoke may come from Iowa. And we have no one down there.
We don't have any.
We don't have a man
down there. We have Tommy Birch.
We rely on him for everything.
He's deployed at the airport.
He's at the airport.
He's at the Des Moines airport.
He's checking flights.
Making sure when Cade Horton checks in for his flight to LaGuardia that he is going to tweet that out and report to us. And we'll figure it out. But
no, we don't have anyone at Clark and Addison.
That's good. If they meet today, and I imagine they are.
Can we just pull the reins back on the meeting? It's an off day. Why don't they just do a Zoom call like normal humans?
No, because you don't have the same dynamic. You can't really see or hear. If you're doing a Zoom call with Craig Council, how are you going to get the deep sigh of frustration? You know, it resonates more in person. Because, like, if we're on a Zoom and I'm like, oh, God, that again?
That's called the pick six.
Yeah, that was one of my reactions.
You had one really, really heavy sigh.
Yeah. Well, that happens.
I tried to conceal
that a little bit more.
It's good.
But they should meet on the day off. They have a big weekend ahead. Maybe if they want to get the manager get away from...
Yeah, meet later in the day then. You know, honest to God, the idea of 8 hours in the middle of a baseball
season, frankly, here's where I disagree. Give the manager time to get away or do whatever he needs to do. He does have an off day, and he's got a life as well. But if you are Jed Hoyer and you are Carter Hawkins and your front office staff,
they should be in there meeting and making the decision. This is a normal day. This is a regular work day.
And you know what your manager thinks, and you know what your manager will say.
They've got to be in that office by 9 a.m., but Craig may be driving back from
Whitefish Bay?
Yes. Give the guy a few hours.
I know, Kennedy's murder. It is murder.
Let him avoid rush hour.
It's terrible. You don't want to try that rush hour. Goodness sakes.
I think the Edens is all torn
up. But they've got it. They've got to decide by noon because, I mean, how many flights out of Des Moines are there?
I mean, they got get Air Ricketts, get it fueled up and get it out there. I mean, you can just pick them up and let's go.
You think?
Don't they have a plane?
They're not going to send a private jet to pick up Cade Horton to get him to Queens by Saturday. No.
Yeah, he's got plenty of time.
No,
he can make a connection like the rest of the world.
So we're having fun with it, but really, deflating loss yesterday.
Yes.
Lost the Cubs a series to the Giants.
Yes.
And the week is ending.
They lost a series they had won, David, right? They had that series won and then somehow surrendered 9 runs.
Well, when there were runners on second and third and only one out, and all you needed to do was score to win, win the series, win that game, and you're laughing. Yeah, it feels a little bit empty as we sit here on Thursday morning of a week that we anointed the Cubs on Monday one of the best teams in the National League.
Yeah, well, I mean, we felt good about it, and we still feel good about it.
They will be. They can be. They are.
I feel like they were going to lose a game in that series, and it was the third game because Robbie Ray's a good pitcher, and he is their talisman this year. They are, what, now 8-0 when he starts a game? He hasn't won 8 games or 7-0, whatever it is, but they win whenever he starts. That's just what's going on.
I think they're 8-0 now.
Are they 8-0 now?
Because he's definitely a guy that gets them.
You're right. There were 7-0 going into the game.
He controls the game. He's a Cy Young Award winner for a reason.
Yes.
And he's got it going this season. He's really totally looking like he's in command.
No question. And so that means they're playing better. He's a good pitcher, and he went a long period of that game shutting them down. He only pitched 6 innings, so let's not act like he put on a 103-pitch
In today's Major League Baseball, 6 innings makes you a workhorse.
What about 103 pitches?
That's Ben Brown.
That's 5 innings.
Yeah, he had 103 pitches because he lacked command early.
But he was also striking out 9 guys. That takes a while.
He's got swing and miss stuff. There's no question about it. I wonder how consistent he can be with this third pitch. Made a big deal about it because he's only got 2 pitches, and Craig Counsell told him publicly he's got to come up with a third. A young pitcher has these kinds of issues he needs to address. 3 changeups in 103 pitches doesn't tell me that there's a lot of confidence in that third pitch. It tells me that
he snuck 3 in.
He's trying.
Yeah.
They're trying to figure something out.
I like him.
By the way, 847 text sitting in. And because I'm sure responding to what we said about PCA. 847 texter. PCA swings at everything. Low and away sliders get him every time. Before going crazy about him over 30 games late last season and fewer than 50 this one. Remember Corey Patterson? I don't see Corey Patterson in PCA.
I do remember Corey Patterson.
But
he was never this.
And I also think that when you look at, as we talked to Lance Brozdowski a couple days ago, Pete Crow Armstrong has a knack for hitting pitches out of the zone, out of the park. And he's also a bad ball hitter.
Listen, he's not the problem. Tell the texter that's not the problem. What we're trying to resolve is starting pitching number one, because they got a game on Saturday and nobody scheduled to pitch it. They got a TBD.
Yeah.
To be determined.
TBD. OMG.
Oh my gosh.
I think when you're talking about if you're doing a power rankings of Cub concerns,
yes.
PCA swinging at bad balls isn't in your top 5.
No, it's not.
It's not even close.
It's not. It might not be in the top 10.
I don't think that's an issue. PCA is emerging because of his ability to barrel up everything.
Yep.
And he's not going to come through every single time.
Also mighty quick.
And how about that arm? For a little guy, that arm is a cannon.
He threw a guy out at the plate, and they initially called him safe, which he wasn't. Everyone saw he wasn't, and they challenged it. And you got to love a good overturned challenge.
We're going to have to find this, and I apologize for thinking out loud on the air, but Pat Hughes, during the broadcast yesterday, said something somewhat remarkable when he talked about Pete Crow Armstrong emerging as potentially the best defensive outfielder he's ever seen.
And that covers a lot of people.
And I don't want to exaggerate on Pat's behalf or anything, but when he said that and I'm listening to the broadcast, I'm like, wow, he isn't prone to hyperbole, but it just tells you how special of a defender Pete Crow Armstrong already is and what he's potentially capable of becoming.
You know, I mean, I wasn't in the car. I wasn't driving. That wouldn't have caused me to, turn into another lane. I might have just nodded along with him. I think he's right.
Right.
I think the kid is unbelievably special in terms of the ground he covers and the plays he makes. There is a showman aspect to it that you sometimes worry about. that he, you know, doesn't mind having a little, like, there are certain people that don't mind, like, a little flair, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But I can handle that because the guy covers so much ground, makes so many good plays, and obviously threw a guy out yesterday.
Unbelievable throw.
Incredible.
Okay, so back to the concerns list, because
concerns
I do
list.
Think you got third base, which you articulated well. We got the starting pitching, which we think they're addressing or discussing today.
And we should just point out Chris Flexen has pitched out of the bullpen. It doesn't seem like he is the guy that's going to be the
starter. It does not seem like, because they brought him in out of the bullpen
that's
to pitch
right.
the ninth the other night.
So
which,
he pitched last night. So how indeed, David, does he start a game on Saturday?
It would
pitching?
Be unlikely. Not impossible, but unlikely. Right. It also depends on what you're looking for out of that game. It could be an opener situation. But as it pertains to the back end of the bullpen, we saw Ryan Pressly struggle mightily, historically bad. When you give up 9 runs.
Everyone wrote about it.
And everyone wrote about it, and now he was at work yesterday morning, 8 o'clock, and we respect his professionalism and work ethic. How much stock do you put in this? When he was deciding whether or not to come to Chicago,
yeah,
there was a report, I think we even discussed, that he was told, assured even,
that he would be the closer.
That he'd be the closer. He would get the ninth inning. Does that factor into any of your thinking now?
Yes.
Now that he has imploded to the extent that he has the other night, and he's been a little bit injured. His knee is a concern. Maybe it's getting in the way. How you said yes without hesitation.
Because they said he'd be the closer. They gave him the role as closer. If he fails at it, if he somehow isn't, then he loses that role. I think they stood by their word. They brought him in as the closer. They made him the closer. If he loses that gig, that's on him. So they held up their end of the bargain. At this point, it doesn't look like he's the closer.
You're letting, and I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just sounding it out. You're letting that one performance, the 8 runs earned, 9 total,
no,
be the determining factor?
No. I think I am looking at him losing his closer job. Mm-hmm. I'm watching it unfold. I don't think they're going to pull it from him right now. I think I listened to what Tommy Hotovy had to say yesterday. He talked about, well, he needs more innings. He needs more appearances. They've got to build him up. He hadn't pitched since when? I mean, he hadn't been out there in a
twice
while.
Twice in the previous, like, 10 days or so.
Because they had to have his knee drained.
Yeah, exactly.
But so
he couldn't he couldn't warm his arm up because his knee was bad.
Couldn't hold his body weight. But I don't think that's an unfair way of looking at it. We are watching a guy who is getting the benefit of the doubt, and they're letting him try to keep going. But no, there aren't enough days in the season to allow someone to kind of work out whatever their issue is. They're in looking for another closer mode, and I think they know who it is. I think
and Craig Counsell went out of his way to remind everybody after the implosion that Ryan Pressly in his previous 10 appearances had not given up a run. So I guess you want to remember these things in fairness, but what happened Tuesday night was so catastrophic that it left a mark.
All right. 312-644-6767. Our guy Ron on the south side has a pretty good name to talk about as a defensive outfielder. Hey, Ron, how are you?
Hey, good morning. I had to call in not to talk about the White Sox, but, Dave, I heard when Pat made that comment, and what he said was he mentioned him in the same breath with Willie Mays.
Yes.
Yeah, because I love listening to Pat and Ron guys. So it was David Gay. I listened, but yeah, I just called in when you said that because it caught my attention, and we know how many great players that he have to have seen,
right?
Junior, all of them, the one Trout. But yeah, so I haven't had a chance to watch him as much, but I certainly will. So, yeah, David, you were right on point. And for him this is what he said. If you remember, Dave, he said, boy, I'm sure they would have a wonderful conversation. So he's basically expressing that not on the physical plate, but he said they would have a great conversation. He feels as if this guy knows the mental aspects and of playing center field. He doesn't just have the physical attributes. So, okay, I just
that's a great call, Ron.
Great call, Ron. Thank you
very much for. I wasn't imagining that, and it was. It was Pat Hughes that invoked the name Willie Mays, and just a point of comparison because obviously he's the greatest center fielder probably ever.
Listen, I mean, he's not just a Hall of Famer; he's like a legendary baseball star.
Just
and to include Pete Crow Armstrong in a conversation about guys like that is or suggesting they could even have a conversation is very interesting.
Yeah, to say, hey, kid, his birthday was a couple days ago, May 6th.
Wow.
Yeah.
May 6th.
May 6th, it was. Universe. Yeah, so I'm glad Rod heard that. But so PCA is not among the list of problems with the Cubs. He is a guy who defensively gives them an asset and a weapon. And at the plate, you're going to have to live with him swinging at bad pitches or bad balls because he can typically connect. Back to the bullpen, Ryan Pressly turning into Ryan Stressly is a problem they're going to have to deal with at some point in time.
Well, and I think that they're dealing with it. I think they know that. I think when the manager comes out and says, you know, he doesn't have swing and miss stuff, that's about as clear an indictment on what the guy is capable of doing at this point as you can find. So then Tommy comes out yesterday, Tommy Hotovy, the pitching coach, and says, well, he needs more time. We got to work more. He's got to build up in order to be able to do the job that they signed him to do. I don't think it's there yet, but I think they're moving toward moving on, if that makes any sense.
We talk about Cade Horton coming up. I do wonder about another name. Maybe we'll talk to Bruce about this, but Keegan Thompson has been pretty good at Iowa as well, and we have seen him before.
Bruce Levine joins us next. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
I don't really see a huge difference either way. I do think sometimes when guys make their debuts on the road, it's a little less pressure because it's, you know, it's not the full media scrum that you would get, you know, when you're in Chicago. I don't really have a personal preference
on
that.
It's pretty much, I mean, there's a lot of intelligent conversation among the group, right? These things come up.
It's a lot of conversation. Let's see how intelligent it is.
Depends who's talking.
Yeah, that's right.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is our guy, Bruce Levine, having some fun with Tommy Hotovy, the Cubs pitching coach, talking about the possibility of who's going to pitch in New York. Is it going to be Cade Horton?
Could be.
Bruce joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Hey, Bruce, good morning.
Good morning, guys. It's going to be interesting to see. After the game, there was no, there were four questions about Horton after the two or three questions about Brown and not scoring enough runs off of Ray yesterday against the Giants. But it ended as Craig Counsell saying, you know, directly, we're going to go into a meeting with everybody after I talked to you guys. So the decision was made at some point yesterday before they got on the bus and went to the airport to go to New York.
Well, as we wait for the white smoke to billow out of the chimneys at Clark and Addison, Bruce, what do you suspect? Do you think they're leaning in one direction or another? And should we read into Chris Flexen's usage as a sign of what we think is coming?
I would, but I mean, I don't know. Even if they call him up, there's a chance, you know, what if they use Flexen as the opener, right?
Yeah.
And they give him a softer landing that way by, you know, maybe Flexen goes after he goes after Alonzo. He goes after you know, the tougher hitters at the top of the lineup, and then Horton comes in. I mean, there's a bunch of ways you can cut it, but I think the conversation, you know, again with Counsell and then yesterday with Hotovy is, and Hotovy said it straight. I said to Tommy, if you're ready to come up, does it matter whether it's in New York against the Mets or anywhere else? He said no. He said my opinion is that if you're ready to pitch in the major leagues, it doesn't matter. Okay, so, but that, again, that's his opinion. He might not have been asked. Probably was. and we'll see how it comes out. I think, like we talked about 2 days ago, he's the best choice right now. Let him throw 75 pitches against the Mets, and let's move on with a power arm in the Cubs rotation, because certainly they need the depth right now, and they need that arm. If you believe in him, yesterday, you have to believe in him today and move forward with him.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I think that at first I was thinking, if you're rushing the kid to make a start, then what are you doing? But if he's ready to go, then the same question would hold. What are you doing? If he's ready to go and you're holding him back, I guess, Bruce, and I know it's not the time of year to worry about it or think about it, but you do have to be aware that, you know, you're down – right now you're down two pitchers, but you're down one for the rest of the year. And mm-hmm. we don't know how long these – like, we don't know who's pitching into October. Like, we talked earlier, Matthew Boyd hasn't had massive innings the last couple of years due to injury. Can he keep going to October? I mean, these are things you'd like to worry about in another month, 2 months, as opposed to right now. But you just have to be aware of when you're starting the clock on people and how the inning usage will work.
Yeah, I think all that is correct, except you need a good pitcher.
Yeah.
You lost your 1 and 2. Who has the best stuff? Who's the best pitcher to throw right now? Is it Flexen or is it the kid? And, you know, again, they haven't asked you or David or me, but at this point, the way that they've, you know, couched this thing and waited, I think he's going to pitch.
So, Bruce, Ryan Pressly, obviously the other night, had a historically bad outing. And I wonder what they do next. Time they have a one-run lead in the ninth inning, and I wonder if today they'll discuss ways to is he injured, is he healthy? Because if he isn't injured and he is healthy, then they got a problem.
Yeah, they're not letting a guy go out there that's injured, okay? And unless he's hiding it from them, because all he said was I feel great. You know, he had his knee drained, what was it, 10 days ago or so, something like that. And he said, I'm not using any excuse on injury. I feel fine. I just didn't do my job. You know, he stood up, you know, after the game, said flat out, I just didn't do my job. Now, the thing you heard from counsel was key in this during the post game after that game. And he said he's just not finishing his pitches. He can't finish guys off. If that's the case, you cannot let him go out there and close right now, okay? So you have a Porter Hodge, you have Palencia coming along to use toward the back end. He's been coming on great, throwing 100, 102. Again, you know, player development at this level, if you have the tools, is a part of it. We saw it all last year with PCA, with Bush, with Amaya. Morale until he was traded, nothing but player development and guys, you know, improving as they went along because they have a lot of talent. Well, I think Hodge has a lot of talent. I think Palencia does. So there's going to be some bumps in the roads, but you got, you know, as you said, this is only early May. You got to get to October.
Right.
Everybody's got to be used in. There's a bunch of names that we don't even know yet that'll probably be here over the next 4.5 months.
Yeah, I think that, you know, there are degrees of healthy, like there are degrees of other things in life. And when you're talking about professional sports, it has always been it is when you first start covering professional sports, I'm thinking about my first days in an NFL locker room. And guys have these injuries where you're just like, oh, mother of God, you know, someone's can't bend their elbow because there's some bone fragments in there.
You'd call in sick and they're out making tackles?
I would be hospitalized for years.
Right.
Never mind months. and there, that's just how it is. Oh, I'll get it cleaned up in the off season. That means surgery. When you are talking about professional pitchers, that, like, just think about this for a second. He had his knee drained. Why do you have your knee drained? Oh, well, you know, there's excess fluid because of what? It is like that. That is not a healthy proposition. Well, I just got to drain the knee and then I can go out there. And I think it's insane that we try to apply like the rules of health to pitchers in particular or football players ever.
Yeah, I mean, look, Greg Maddux for his whole career, he didn't go on the IL until I think his 24th or 25th year with a calf injury, and that was his last year. I would walk by his locker, and he'd say, don't say anything, but, you know, I can't pitch until 2 days from now because I just got a shot, you know. And then I'd see in his locker he'd have things like Indocin, you know, which was back then the only way to treat, you know, arthritic situations because – They didn't have the modern medical stuff, and that's the stuff that just took away your pain for a while, but it destroyed your stomach. So you're right. I mean, you know, these athletes go through unbelievable stuff to go out there and compete, and like you said, you and I would be in hospitals, and we wouldn't be going out for a long time. They go out there and compete because that's what they do. That's what they know, and it's a tough world.
Bruce, as they ponder what to do maybe in the late innings the next time they have a lead and they wonder about the confidence they have in Ryan Pressly, what role, if any, does any assurance they made him during the before he became a Cub as he was taking that day that was reported he had to, you know, think about it and he had to have some assurances, does that play any factor now? Is that even part of the conversation?
I think it might be a part of the conversation, but it's like, dude, you're not the guy that we need there right now. We need to get you to be a better form of yourself before we can put you at the end. We're not telling you to go home. We're telling you it might be a different role until we get ready for it. Now, to his credit, Tommy said that Pressly came in at 8 o'clock in the morning yesterday and said,
"You probably couldn't sleep."
That's exactly what he said. He said, "Tommy, I'm not going to sleep all night. I'm going to be here at 8 o'clock in the morning." And they started working on refining things. So give him credit for not dodging the reality of the situation.
Right.
The other reality is what you guys just brought up. They promised they're paying him $9 million out of the 14. They paid an extra $700,000 or $800,000. Just to relocate him. Remember, he had a no-trade clause, right?
Right.
So that's what got him to say okay. But again, all that comes into the mix as well. They don't want to punish the guy or say go away. They want to get the best version of him. But winning games is what the front office is all about. It's what council is 110%, if you could ever go there, is all about. And any promise that they made, you know, 4 months ago or 3 months ago, is out the window right now.
Bruce, just a quick White Sox question. Who in that organization hates Tim Elko? Someone clearly hates that guy. Can we identify the human with the control that hates him?
The only consensus I get is that they think he's a one-tool guy and that he's really not of the caliber of Vaughn at this point and maybe never will be, and that's why he's not going to be replaced.
How do you accept that, though, Bruce?
The one tool they need.
If he could be as bad as Vaughn,
he won't make it.
You have no power, Bruce? Right. I thought you had all the power.
No power. But I will say in closing, the bigger problem was in last night's game with Luis Roberts staring at a ball going down the line and costing them a chance to tie that game because he wasn't on second base. That's something, and I'm a Luis Roberts fan.
Right. Yep.
But when you do that, that's the type of example that you have to address right away. So you hope that, Venable has done that, whether it's a fine, whether he sits today. You don't want to punish the team because he's your best hitter. But on the other side, you can't be staring at a line drive when you should be easily at second base Yeah, so I'll leave you with that.
Will it hurt his trade value?
Great stuff, Bruce.
See
it
you, Bruce.
Might. It might. It
yeah,
might.
I know. Might. I, yeah. I mean, that's the only thing that goes through your head because they're they got two things. They are dead set on trading that guy, and they are dead set on not bringing up Tim Elko. Regardless.
You're right.
All right, buddy.
Have a great day, guys.
You too, Bruce. Thank you. That's Bruce Levine.
You can't turn a double into a single.
Wow, that is well put. It's exactly what he did.
It's exactly what he did.
Yeah.
Look what I did. I hit it down the third baseline. Yeah. Isn't that pretty?
Right.
I think
right.
I'm going to watch it.
Yep. All right. 312-644-6767. Back to your calls. Mully and Hall on the score.
Here's a swing and a ball sent out to right field by Tim Elko. It is up and it is gone. A home run for Tim Elko. That's his 10th home run of the year. Jumps on that first pitch and smashes it out to right field.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. It's a delight to welcome in Scott Merkin, MLB.com, the handsome, intelligent Merkin brother, and he is in Charlotte with the Knights, where the story is. And we're delighted to welcome in on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire. Check them out, Aturo.com. Hey, Scott.
Gentlemen, good morning. How you doing?
Okay. Yeah, we're trying to figure out what the Sox are doing. Why not bring up Tim Elko? Why do they hate that guy? What is it about him that just bothers everyone?
I think it's quite the contrary. I think they have a lot of respect for Tim Elko, and that's one thing that I've noticed is, I mean, not that I've heard bad things about other people, but one of the things you hear across the board from Chris to, you know, Paul Yanis, Chris Getz, of course, Paul Yanis, Sergio Santos, his teammate, is just what a tremendously great guy Tim Elko is. And I actually asked him about that when I talked to him Tuesday, and he kind of laughed and said, you know, he takes as much pride in that as being a good player. And, you know, I think Paul has said this before, and that, you know, you got to wait for your opportunity, and the roster has got to be constructed right. And this is a team with the offense they have that plays a lot of matchups, and it's tough to carry, you know, similar profiles on your team with Tim and Andrew Vaughn. Now, in the same sense, I would think that in the year you are, you know, the team is 10-27. They've, you know, they're a better team than last year. I think they've played better baseball than last year, even though the record is not, you know, much different than what it was last year. I think you have a shot to see guys like this. Maybe Tim Elko was not in your, you know, every team has a big board where they look out more than just the next 2 weeks, the next 2 months, the next year. Maybe Tim was not on that board to begin with. He's 26 years old. But why not now, or if not now, sometime in the next month or next few weeks, get a look and see what you have, because, you know, I think you really want to see what you have going into next year. Next year is the year that I think they should kind of turn even a bigger corner, but you want to know what you have in place when you're going into that year. So he's doing everything he can, and he's saying, you know, I don't want to say he's saying the right things because he believes it. It's not like he's putting on a show. There's no affectation. He believes that he's just got to focus on Charlotte. And who knows, when I go to the ballpark today before I leave to come home, he may be on his way to Chicago for all we know. But, what, you know, we'll see. But I think he's doing everything he can to make the case and then some on top of it.
I hope you guys share an Uber to the airport because he belongs with the White Sox. It defies baseball
logic. Give
him your
ticket.
Merck, the big board.
I have a rental car, so he can sit
shotgun there, because the only big board that matters is the scoreboard, and the Sox struggle to score runs. It defies baseball logic why they have a guy leading the minors and homers in their system still at Charlotte in AAA. So I don't know what they're waiting for. If not now, when? Otherwise, is there anybody else down there besides Tim Elko that can get a promotion before he does? Because we thought that would be yesterday when Benintendi went on the IL and they brought up somebody else, and it wasn't Tim Elko. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's also, again, it comes down to the matchup situations. Nick is a left-handed hitter. You know, I think you have another guy who's playing well, who's also a little older in baseball vernacular, still much younger than us, but older in baseball vernacular, Corey Jolks, who's killing it down there too, and has actually had a little run with the White Sox in the past. But I think it's all about, you know, kind of the opportunity has got to meet what they need at the top level. Now, like I just said, in the same instance, if you're going to get a look at him and see what he can do at the next level, and sometimes, and I'm not saying this is Tim, sometimes people crush it at Charlotte, crush it at Birmingham, get to the majors, and they don't do it, And let's be honest, I forgot who said this to me in the last couple of weeks, but they call it the major leagues for a reason. You know, no one ever got to the Hall of Fame and said, man, you know, I hit 500 home runs, but God, that year I spent in Double A, that was the key. Those statistics mean more to me than anything. The minor league is what you do to get to the majors, and that's when it really counts. I'm not dismissing the minors. There's been some great stories I'm able to find this week that I've been out here. But it's when you get to the majors that matters, and that's when you have to, you know, really put on the best show.
Is all their pitching help, is that all in Birmingham, or are there guys in Charlotte? I know, hard to put up good numbers in that building.
It is a tough ballpark to pitch in, and I think that's why, excuse me, you may see guys like, no, well, not you may, I think you will see guys like Noah Schultz and Hagen Smith and Grant Taylor jump straight from Birmingham to the majors at some point. You know, Grant Taylor, I think the key for him is to stay healthy. And if he stays healthy, I could see, you know, the back end of his season being sort of kind of an opener, you know, one or two inning guy, filling out the innings they want him to get to this year in the major leagues. And I think the same could happen for Noah and Hagen. You know, I think Noah and Hagen might be a little bit ahead of Grant in terms of starting rotation because, you know, Grant was dealing with injuries when he first came in. But those of us who saw, you know, all three of them were really impressive. Grant Taylor, for someone who hadn't seen much of him until then, I mean, I you know, you put less numbers in Cactus League, I think, or less merit in Cactus League than you do in the minor leagues. But, I mean, you just saw something with Grant Taylor that was a big leaguer, you know, in the minor leagues. I mean, the two innings, six strikeouts he had against the Dodgers, him facing the heart of that Dodgers order, you just saw a presence and stuff that if he stays healthy, this guy could be on the quick path to the majors. So there are guys at Charlotte, you know, a little more veteran guys that could help the White Sox. But I think the prospects, the pure prospect guys, are at Birmingham and below.
Thanks, Mark.
Great stuff. Thank you so much.
Don't forget to pick up Elko on the way to the airport.
Okay, guys. Take care.
Wow.
He's driving. He's going to drive him right here. That's awesome. Stop by the station first. We'll all hit the south side.
We found that audio from Pat Hughes just comparing PCA, or at least invoking a very special name in baseball history when talking about Pete Crow Armstrong.
And we'll be right back with it, Mully and Haw on the score.